The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. We welcome you to the broadcast live today here on Facebook. While you guys are hopping on, for those that are hopping on here live, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. And if you're new to our channel, if you're new to any of our videos, if this is your first time joining us, again, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And at this time, I want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners from across all of our platforms, whether it be YouTube or Rumble or podcast or through the app or whatever, and however you may be listening or viewing this today by live or by the rebroadcast of this. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Today, I've got a very sobering I want to give you the dream. I had a dream. Many of you guys who are our regular followers, at least here on Facebook Live, you'll know that I shared this recently. It was on Saturday night. I had a dream in the wee hours of the night. I'll go more in detail about that in just a second. And to say that I am not telling this with trepidation is an understatement when I share this. It was a quick dream. It was very fast, but I know, and I'm going to explain to you why I know that it was from the Lord. It was not, you know, many people that have watched this and listened to this, I understand there's a huge group of individuals that they call them cessationists. They're by definition, they are cessationists, meaning they don't believe that God is still speaking today through dreams and through visions, and he's not using people through the Holy Spirit to perform signs, wonders, and miracles. So that there's a whole movement out there of people that don't believe in dreams. They don't believe in visions. So they will always, they're going to scoff. They're going to laugh. They're going to mock. They're going to ridicule, and they're going to undermine anything, any discussion that we talk about today. So without further ado, let's get started on this thing, because I do want to be respectful of your time. I want to give you a verse of scripture. This is going to go right along with this. I'm going to give you two verses of scripture. One is this one. In Luke 21:11, you'll see why this is going to fall into play in just a moment. And this is Luke 21:11 for you guys that are listening today. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Again, there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now, I'm going to give you another verse of scripture. This is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. Again, this is Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward, and he's speaking of after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's in Acts chapter 2, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. If there's anyone listening today, you have sons, you have daughters, you have granddaughters, you have grandsons, and they're serving the Lord. Don't despise prophecy. Despite what some preacher behind a pulpit tells you, or some denomination or some religious organization that tries to tell you that God doesn't use people today or speak through people today or speak through women or men. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy in the last days. Your old men, and I'll count myself into that category, shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also on my men and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Real quick, before we get to the dream, because I know that's why you guys hopped on, I want to clarify this. In the last days, God is going to use sons and daughters to prophesy. He's going to use old men and young men to give them dreams and visions, and we will include women in that too. God doesn't just give dreams and visions to men, but he gives it to women as well. And again, he's going to pour out his spirit like never before. And it's already been happening. It's been happening since Acts chapter 2, and it's been going on. It's still happening today. The Holy Spirit is still here today. He did not cease his operation with the last apostle, John, in the fourth century, as some teach. But he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon men servants and maidservants in those days, and they shall be used by God. Now, having said that, let me get to why everybody has hopped on today. And I'm not just going to give you the dream and call today and move on. That's not how I roll. I'm going to give you a lot of information today and revelation. So early in the wee hours of the night of this weekend, I was sound asleep. I'm not one of these individuals. I can honestly say before you, if you guys know me well enough, I am not one of these individuals that every single week the Lord spoke to me, the Lord gave me a dream, this and that. I don't do that. And it just doesn't happen. But on the night of the 29th, 2 days ago, at approximately 2:08 a.m., and that time frame is significant too. I did not know that until I went to further research. I was awakened, violently awakened by this dream. In the dream, here's the dream. Real quick, it's a quick dream. I was on my phone. I do have an iPhone. Don't judge me. All the Android people, don't judge me, but I do have an Apple iPhone. And on my phone, I have an app, and it's a earthquake tracker. And I love it because it's perfect for what we do here. And I can customize the notifications to notify me of when certain earthquakes of a certain magnitude around the world happen. It will alert me. It will notify me. So in the dream on the 29th, in the wee hours of the night, in this dream, my notification went off on my earthquake tracker. So I grabbed my phone in this dream. I picked up my phone and I looked down at the screen to see where the earth, because I knew the sound, because I have a custom notification tone for earthquakes. So when it goes off, I know that it's an earthquake. It went off. I looked down at my phone, and it tells me exactly where the earthquake happened and the magnitude of it. When I looked at the phone, it said a magnitude 7.8. But here's the thing that got me. It was in Arkansas. Let me say that again. Earthquake tracker alert goes off. Look at it. Magnitude 7.8 earthquake, Arkansas, United States. In the dream, I was stunned and said, and this is, I remember, guys, just like I'm sitting here today, I remember my heart sank, like my hope, the blood ran cold in my body. And I said to myself in the dream, my Lord, the New Madrid has just blown. And no sooner than I said that in the dream, literally seconds went by. And all of a sudden, the entire, and I was in my basement of my home, sitting on my couch in my basement, and the entire room began to sway and shake violently. I remember the lights were shaking, my furniture was shaking, the table was shaking, my feet were buckling and almost clapping underneath me and shaking violently. And I heard my wife's voice yell from another room, "We're having an earthquake." And I said, I know. And everybody was kind of panicked. And I'm telling you guys, the shaking went on, and it was so violent and it was so strong. And I felt it in my bones and in my body. And it woke me, and it was shaking me so violently in the dream that it woke me straight out of the dream. I woke up wide awake. I keep my phone for this reason. I learned that a long time ago. I keep my phone within earshot of me, within arm's reach. I immediately reached over, grabbed my phone, and I began to type out this very dream. Why? Because I wanted to make sure I documented it. I wanted to make sure that I had it noted, timestamped, and everything. So I got up that morning. I told my wife, I said, you've got to hear this dream. And she said, do you think it's of God? And I said, absolutely think it's of God. And I knew that because of the way, how real it was, and how there was details in this dream that I want to share with you right now. So let's get after this. I want to give you some information here. First of all, it took place in, again, the earthquake in my dream. The location of this magnitude 7.8 earthquake was in Arkansas. Now, I got to be honest with you. There's some things that I'm going to share with you on this broadcast that I had already known. But when I began to do my research on the morning after I had this dream on the 29th, what I found out absolutely stunned me, and it sealed the deal to know that this dream was absolutely from the Lord. First of all, again, it was in Arkansas. Second of all, I want to talk about something right here that you're going to see up on your screen. Now, what you see here is a location. All of you guys that are in Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Indiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, you are familiar with this location. Right there on your screen, you're seeing major fault lines right here, right? You see them? You got the one out to the west. You got the San Andreas. You got the Cascadian fault line. You got all that out there. Then you got a major fault line that I did not know apparently runs through, goes down into Charleston, South Carolina. We'll talk about that in a second too. But then you see this great big red dot on your screen for you guys that are watching this. This is called the New Madrid fault line that runs through the midsection of the country. Now, let me give you a little bit of a history on this. In 1811 and 1812, there was a sequence of earthquakes that took place. Let me talk about that right now. This sequence of three large earthquakes, usually referred to as the New Madrid earthquakes, that takes after the Missouri town of New Madrid, was the largest settlement on the Mississippi River between St. Louis, Missouri, and Natchez, Mississippi. Again, if I slaughtered that, forgive me. On the basis of the large area of damage, which was 600,000 square kilometers, the widespread area of precipitability was, again, 5 million square kilometers, and the complex changes geographically that occurred were historic. Quote, the New Madrid earthquake of 1811-1812 ranks as some of the largest that has ever occurred in the U.S. since its settlement by Europeans. The area of strong shaking associated with these shocks is 2 to 3 times as large as that of the 1964 Alaska earthquake and 10 times as large as that of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Because there was no seismographs in North America at the time of 1811-1812, very few people in the New Madrid region, the estimated magnitudes of this series of earthquakes vary considerably and depend on modern researchers' interpretations of journals, newspaper reports, and other accounts of the ground shaking and damage. Now, let me just read that to you And then I'm gonna show you some significant stuff that confirms to me that this dream I just recently had is from the Lord. And I'm going to share another dream I had back in 2011. And I'm going to share another dream that a brother in the Lord had as well. So let me read this. The New Madrid earthquakes were the largest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but were felt as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. President James Madison and his wife, Dolly, reportedly felt them in the White House. And church bells rang in Boston. You got to just let that soak in for a second, how huge that is. From December 16, 1811 through March of 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest and between 6,000 to 10,000 earthquakes in Missouri, where New Madrid is located near the junction of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. In the known history of the world, no other earthquakes have lasted so long or produce so much evidence of damage as the New Madrid earthquakes. Let me just give you a little synopsis of what happened. These series of earthquakes that took place, again, three of them were so large in magnitude that it caused the Mississippi River to actually reverse course and run backwards. Huge fissures opened in the earth as a result of this. Sand boils were created as a result of these earthquakes. There was reports of lights that flashed out of the ground caused by the quartz crystals that were being compressed by the pressure of the seismic magnitude of the earthquakes, causing what is a phenomenon called earthquake lights. By the way, this also happened in Japan and other huge earthquakes that took place. Warm water was seen shooting up out of the ground from fissures. There was what was called earthquake smog that was seen across the land during this earthquake. Some eyewitnesses reported what was called sounds of thunder that was rippling off of the ground and off up across the geographical plains of the locations of the New Madrid. People reported strange behavior by animals before the earthquakes even occurred. They were nervous. They were excited. Domestic animals became wild, and wild animals became tame. Snakes came out of the ground from hibernation, and flocks of ducks and geese landed near people where they normally didn't. By the way, this is common, and it happened in the the date may be wrong on this, but I believe it was 2005, 2004, what was called the Boxing Day tsunami earthquake that killed all those people in Sumatra and Indonesia. This was reported then too, where animals were seeing going up to higher ground and strange activity by animals. All these things were happening. Now, listen to this. Here's what shook me, no pun intended. This is what really got me when I began to research this. The first earthquake that occurred of the three major earthquakes, the first large earthquake that happened in 1811, ready? Was a magnitude 7.5 earthquake. And guess where it happened? I did not know this. Arkansas. Now, that stunned me. I was like, what? I did not know that. Let me say that again. The first earthquake that occurred in December 16, 1811, was a magnitude 7.5 earthquake at 2. Now, here's the second part that got me. Listen to the time that it happened. 2:15 a.m. Guys, I had this dream probably around 2 a.m. and it woke me out of the dream at 2:08. On December 16, 1811, a 7.5 earthquake struck Arkansas at 2:15 a.m. in the morning. I don't know about you, but that gave me chills and that stunned me. And I knew once I read that, right, those two things, I knew this is not a quote unquote, for all the people that will say, well, you ate something crazy before you went to bed, or this is you or whatever. Look, again, I don't really care. If I really cared about what people thought about me, I wouldn't be sharing the dream in the first place. But I share this because I feel I'm obligated to do this. The second major earthquake took place in Missouri on January 23rd, 1812, and it was a magnitude 7.3. Then the third one was a 7.5, and it occurred on February 7th, 1812, along the Real Foot Fault in Missouri and Tennessee. Now I said that because I want to show you some stuff that's happened recently. Again, this is why it's got me a little bit shook up. I don't know how to say it. These are two headlines that I pulled up that I know of because we reported on them. Look at the dates on these. December 30th, January 22nd. An earthquake swarm took place right there in South Carolina.
Did you feel that shake this afternoon? The U.S. Geological Survey confirmed a 2.36 magnitude earthquake near Elgin. That is the second quake today. There was another confirmed tremor about 7 o'clock this morning. It registered in at 2.5 on the Richter scale. So there's been a lot of rocking and rolling across the Midlands. It's the seventh low magnitude earthquake to occur this week. News 19's Becky Buzz explains the cause of these quakes.
Seven earthquakes in less than a week, and all happening within miles of Elgin.
This morning wasn't as intense as the other day. That was very scary. I thought we'd been hit by a truck or something.
Monday's quake had a magnitude of 3.2, the biggest all week. Since then, magnitudes have ranged, with the smallest one measuring in at 1.1.
Really neat to get into the magnitude 4 or 4.5 range where you may get some minor damage.
Stephen Jean-May, a professor at the College of Charleston, says these quakes are normal given that Elgin falls along the Eastern Piedmont Fault System, a large fault system that extends northeasterly from Georgia through South Carolina, North Carolina, and into Virginia. Jame says these small quakes are likely not leading up to something bigger, but there's not enough data to be exactly sure.
Right. These particular set of small earthquakes don't give us information on when the next big one's going to occur.
Unlike weather, earthquakes are unpredictable and can happen at any moment.
And there isn't a season. There is no specific thing to look for to tell you it's coming. It will show up when it shows up. And so you have to at least mentally be prepared all the time.
When one does occur, Jame says to drop, cover, and hold. First, drop to the floor, then find cover under a desk or a table, and hold on until the shaking stops. If you're outside, get away from anything that can fall on you, like trees or light poles.
So this is what we would call an earthquake swarm. And by the way, guys, look here on this picture. I'm going to pull this up. There was a major earthquake in 1886 right there in Charleston, South Carolina. All right, and I'm going to go back to this. Then we have this was on January 22nd. Yes, it's small in magnitude. But if you go out and if you go study the events of 1811, 1812, there was a series of smaller earthquakes that was happening as precursors to the larger events. Same thing happened in 2011 with the Japanese quake and tsunami. There was clusters or earthquake swarms that were taking place. And eventually it was, we know now that it was precursors to a larger event. Guys, people are asking me, when will this happen? I was not given any date. I can't answer that. I don't know. But listen to this. Residents on the Georgia-Tennessee border heard this earthquake. They reported and thought it was a bomb or a plane. Homes were rattled. Again, this is in Tennessee. And by the way, there's been a lot of earthquakes, guys, happening in Tennessee. Now, as of the reporting of this article or this podcast, this is today. I was at lunch today. A dear friend of mine sent me a message. He had no idea what I was going to talk about today. I'd never shared with him my dream. He sent this to me, and he said, I got a lot of friends in Oklahoma that have just sent me this and said that they said that there is definitely an earthquake that took place because they felt it. So this is breaking news. A magnitude 4.6 earthquake was felt across Oklahoma. Some of you guys that are listening to this, maybe you heard it. Maybe you felt it. Maybe this is in your neck of the woods. But I know that it was felt all the way into Kansas. Again, now, is this fracking? Is this underground explosions, some kind of a testing going on? Or was this a legitimate earthquake? I can't answer that. I am not a seismologist. I'm not a scientist. I always say this. I'm just an old Kentucky boy that God called to be a watchman. And I'm just sharing with you today what the Lord has put on my heart. Now, having said that, I want to share with you, this is my second dream. Let me say that again. This is my second dream that I've had regarding an earthquake or quakes. I don't know, but an earthquake, we'll just say an earthquake that has happened on the New Madrid fault line. Now, many of you guys that are our regular viewers and our regular listeners, you're going to remember me talking about this next dream that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to pull up a visual for you guys so you can follow along with me because I want you to see this. In 2011, I had a dream. It was as real and detailed as the one I just had a couple days ago. In this dream, I was by myself. It was a cold, brisk night. I don't know if it was, I believe it was in the fall months because it was cool enough to wear a jacket, but it was pleasant. And I was walking down a street. And the street looked exactly like this because it had a road. It had a road going down the middle of the town. And on the left, there was all kinds of little shops and restaurants. And on the right, there was shops and there was bars and there was pubs and there was restaurants on the right. Just like in this picture, I'm walking down this. This is in 2011, walking down the road in the dream. And I remember I look up and I'm walking. All of a sudden, the ground underneath me started violently shaking. It got so bad in the beginning of the stream, I was walking on the sidewalk. You look on your screen right here. If you're watching this, if you're listening by podcast, there's a picture up here. There's a sidewalk, there's storefronts, and you could see people out on the sidewalk. I was in the dream walking on the sidewalk, but then when the ground started shaking in my dream violently, I remember it got so bad that I thought to myself, I have got to get away from these buildings and away from these awnings and billboards, because if I stay here, I risk these things. So in the dream, I ran out into the street in the middle of the street where there was no risk of things falling and collapsing on me. And then at that point, when I got out to the street, the shaking then become, it went to a whole other magnitude. Like it got so strong that it actually knocked me off my feet. I could not stay on my feet. I remember laying on my back in the middle of the street. I was laying on my back and I remember looking up into the sky, and it was a clear night. I could see all the stars. And I remember while I was laying on the ground, while it was shaking, I looked over to my right where all the stores are and the storefronts, and there's all these signs up. And here's the thing, this is how I knew, and the Lord showed me this in the dream so I would know exactly where it was at. So you got to look for these things. When you have dreams, when God gives you dreams, you look for the details. That's why you got to write these things down. In the dream, I looked and I saw this huge guitar on the side of the building, massive guitar. It was like probably about 6 foot tall from the top of the base of the guitar all the way down to the neck. And it was going all the way down. And on the top of the guitar, like it went over like this, the writing kind of did like a U shape. It said Music City. So that's what I said, okay, where is Music City? So I, just like you guys would do, I get on here. And of course, what comes up is Nashville, Tennessee. But again, Music City is known in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, where is Nashville, Tennessee? On the New Madrid fault line. You guessed it. So this is what's stunning to me, guys. And I'm going to read a little bit more. I want to scroll down here because I wrote some stuff that I want you to hear today. And then we're going to talk about this even more as we close this. In 2009, listen to this. Before I say this, let me say this. The earthquakes that took place, these three major quakes in 1811, 1812 that took place, if they were to happen today, the outcome would have been even more catastrophic. Let me explain. In 2009, the Mid-America Earthquake Center at the University of Illinois released a report simulating the fallout from another 1811, 1812 event in a region that today includes Memphis, St. Louis, Nashville, and a Mississippi River lined with industry, people, and levees. The language used and to describe the resulting destruction in the study was surprisingly shocking. Quote, all hell would break loose. The study's lead author pronounced the report's nightmarish vision is best quoted in full. Nearly 715,000 buildings are damaged in the 8-state study region. About 42,000 search and rescue personnel workers and 1,500 teams would be required to respond to these earthquakes. Damage to critical infrastructure, essential facilities, transportation, and utility lifelines is substantial in the 140 impacted counties near the rupture zone, including 3,500 damaged bridges and nearly 425,000 breaks and leaks to both local and interstate pipelines. Approximately 2.6 million households would be left without power from the earthquake. Nearly 86,000 injuries would probably occur, and fatalities results from damage to infrastructure. Nearly 130 hospitals are damaged, and most are located in the impacted counties near the rupture zone. There would be extensive damage and substantial travel delays in both Memphis, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri, thus hampering search and rescue as well as evacuation. Moreover, roughly 15 major bridges would be unusable. 3 days after an earthquake of any of these magnitudes, 7.2 million people would still be displaced, and 2 million would seek temporary shelter as the from the impact of this. Direct economic losses for the 8 states that would be impacted. I said 8 states. That's unfathomable. Would total near $300 billion in damage, while indirect losses could be at least twice that amount. Now, I told you I wanted to share another dream. I want to share this man that you see on the screen is probably one of, if I had a top 5 ministers that I respect and that I've gleaned under and a lot from, this man is one of them, Pastor John Kilpatrick. He was essential in the Brownsville, Pensacola revival. One of the most sound, balanced ministers, pastors out there. But let me read this. On April 27th, 2008, Pastor John Kilpatrick had a prophetic dream in which he was shown a catastrophic earthquake that will someday occur directly along the New Madrid fault.
2008, you had astonishing, a vision, would it be?
I don't dream a lot, but there are times that I know that God's given me a God dream, and this was a God dream, and I'll make it brief. Yeah. First of all, I dreamed that I was suspended over a river, and I thought it was a river down by my house in Alabama. And I looked at the river, and immediately I was thinking, well, what am I doing looking at a river? You know, it just was a tranquil river flowing. And all of a sudden, that river went out of sight immediately. Just, I couldn't see the bank on either side. It was just like an ocean. And immediately, I was taken up, and I was transferred into an old school building, like a one big room school building. And I was running through that school building, me and another guy from my church. And that building started bucking like a horse. It just started bucking to the point in my dream that my teeth was clapping. And my teeth was hurting in my dream because my teeth was clapping so hard. And I looked and I saw that guy flipping around in the room. And I thought, well, if he's flipping like that, I must be flipping like that. And so when the dream was coming to a close, I saw two words. And it looked like these words was on like an old Spanish antique map of antiquities. I saw the word Indianola, and I saw the word Europa. So when I woke up, I was shaking so hard, it was like I had a hard chill. And so my wife, I called her from the other room, and she came in there and held me while I was just shaking. And she said, what in the world, honey? I said, well, listen, I've had a dream, Brenda. And I said, get on the computer and look up Indianola. So if you looked up Indianola, and there were 5 of them, but 2 had been destroyed by hurricanes. So there was one in Mississippi, there was one, I think, in Texas, and there was one in Illinois. But when I saw Indianola, I saw a line going from Indianola that way toward a little dot, a little bitty tiny dot called Europa. The thing that let me know which Indianola it was the way the line left Indianola and went toward Europa. It didn't come from Texas. It didn't come from Mississippi. It was the one in Zion, Illinois. It was the one near Illinois.
Yes.
Near Illinois. And the way the line went from the one in Illinois, it went that way toward Europa, Missouri. Went to the right a little bit, slightly to the right. So when she looked them up on the map and I saw that, I didn't know what it meant. I told a preacher friend of mine that. He called me back later that day, and he said, John, I have put Indianola on the computer, and I put Europa on the computer. And he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, that line and those two cities is exactly the New Madrid Fault. He said, that's exactly the New Madrid Fault. He said, this, you can superimpose that line over the New Madrid Fault. So I knew then that the Lord was showing me that it was a New Madrid fault erupting. That thing was bucking so hard. That building was bucking so hard. I'm 6'3", and it was throwing me around like a rag doll. And my teeth, I couldn't keep my teeth from clapping in the dream. And when I woke up, I mean, for me to be shaken like that, that had to be a God dream. It was not a regular dream.
Sure.
Right.
So I believe, this is what I personally believe. I can't prove this. It's just supposition. I believe that it may be possible that that's on hold in the event that America mishandles Jerusalem. If the Secretary of State, whoever that may be in the future, or if the President in the future pressures Israel to divide Jerusalem, and we have a hand in it, I believe the new matter is going to bust wide open and divide America. Mm-hmm. That's what I believe. I think that's possible. I can't say it for sure.
Right.
And I've done a lot of research. I always research. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. True science backs everything.
Yes.
That New Madrid fault, I don't know if you knew at that time when you had the vision, that was probably the worst earthquake ever to hit the United States of America.
I heard that later.
An unknown area. People didn't know. And now, since then, in fact, today, there was an earthquake on the fault.
Really?
Today, as we're taping this program. Is that right, students? The students have, James, my son, yeah, they found it. But that whole thing has been shaking, this, that whole area, for months and months now. But Rick Joyner believes that it could happen very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
He's heard your prophecy. Of course, you delivered some things there at Heritage. Mm-hmm. That fault line, as I research science, that's the same fault type that created the oceans that's in the middle of America. And that has the ability. And Rick Joyner says if that happens, the commerce in America, the trucking, everything, America will be divided, the famine, food shortage, everything. It will be a disaster.
See, I saw that river just immediately go. But
now, that river ran backwards in, I don't know what year it was.
Yeah, it did.
About 1800s, late 1800s, I guess it was, or somewhere there. And that river ran backwards. It rang church bells in Boston. It was beyond comprehension.
Well, you know, anytime we mishandle Israel, or Jerusalem especially, see, in the last days, the Bible doesn't say that Israel's going to be the issue. It says Jerusalem's going to be the issue.
Oh.
It's the city, not the nation. The Bible says that God will make Jerusalem, not Israel, a cup of trembling to all the nations. Yeah. And that means the United Nations.
Yes.
All nations is the United Nations.
Mm.
And it said that he'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all nations.
Mm.
But, you know, I say this respectfully. I love President Bush, and I backed him 100%, and I still do. I love him and respect
yes.
him.
Yes.
But when he made Israel give up Gaza,
yeah.
Gaza was a seaside city in Israel of 80,000 people. And whenever they had to leave their homes, there were Jews pulling Jews out of their homes, and they were evacuating by helicopter people off the tops of synagogues.
Yes.
And did you know, in a matter of days, New Orleans had a hurricane, Katrina, and they were plucking people off of rooftops with helicopters just like they were in Gaza a few days before. But of all the places where the water came in into New Orleans was a place where the dike broke called the West Bank. It was a place called the West Bank in New Orleans.
Wow.
And when President Bush, in my opinion, when President Bush mishandled Israel, I believe right then his presidency was over, because after that he struggled. Mm. He had a struggle making speeches.
That's right.
He couldn't hardly talk. Mm. From the time he mishandled Israel.
Mm.
Let me tell you something, and I really feel led to say this. It's a dangerous thing to be elected president of the United States for one reason. How are you going to handle Israel, and how are you going to handle Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Makes no difference how you handle Paris.
Right.
Makes no difference
right.
how you handle Rio.
Right.
Makes no difference how you handle South Africa.
Yes.
Makes no difference how you handle Iraq.
Right.
But how a president and the Secretary of State handles Israel and Jerusalem mm-hmm. can have major ramifications on that man and this nation. So we've got to make sure whoever we elect president is going to be a friend to Israel and will be a friend to Jerusalem. Got to make sure.
And The world is focused on Israel right now. The armies have surrounded Jerusalem. We're living in this hour. And, you know, after you prophesied these things, we research here. We have my students research. October 30th, 1991, George Bush opened the Madrid conference. Isn't it amazing? The name was Madrid. And aimed at forcing Israel to give up more land. And at that same time, a storm, 35-foot high wave, hit his home.
That's Bush number one.
That's right, and Bush's New England home. Then August 23rd, 1992, was you referring to it, the Madrid conference moved to Washington, D.C., and that same day, Hurricane Andrew, the worst natural disaster in U.S. history at the time, caused $30 billion in damage, left 180,000 people homeless. And then it goes on. Then President Clinton met with Syria's president for talks on forcing Israel to give up the Golan Heights. Less than 24 hours later, a 6.9 earthquake shook Southern California, second most destructive natural disaster to hit the U.S. And it goes on and on. And 1997, March 1st, and then tornadoes devastated America on these same dates.
Well, did you know last year when President Obama said that Israel must give back the land that they got in the war, did you know that the week he said that was in May? And I went before Church's presence that next morning, the Sunday morning, and I told him, I said, anytime we've mishandled Israel, it costs us. When you're dealing with the church, you're dealing with grace, but when you're dealing with Israel, you're dealing with the law, and it's quick retribution. And so I told the church that morning, I said, I'm in fear of what's about to happen. And that afternoon, the tornado struck Joplin, Missouri. That was within 2 days after President Obama said that Israel's got to give back the land they got. They need to go back to the old boundaries. And it struck Joplin. So it doesn't make any difference who we are, what the name of our nation is. If you're dealing with Israel or you're dealing with Jerusalem, you're not talking about grace. You're talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Mm-hmm. You're talking about swift retribution.
These are 10 events that I don't have time to share with you today. But the big one was when President George Bush pressured Israel to evacuate the Gaza Strip. 8,000 Israeli settlers were forced to leave their homes. Exactly 1 week later, Hurricane Katrina smashed Louisiana. 80% of the city of New Orleans was underwater. And the percentage of the Israeli population that was made homeless by the forced evacuation was almost equal to the same percentage of the American population left homeless by Katrina. This is prophetic. People don't believe these things, but you can't have 10 situations. I mean, the others are just as startling.
Not only is it prophetic, but it's predictable.
Yeah.
It's predictable.
Good. Good.
And somebody, you know, the president, whoever the president may be, the president really needs to have people around him that can say, oh, Mr. President, oh, please be careful. Please be careful. You may do this, but this nation's going to suffer. You may make this decision. You may say this, but the ramifications are going to hit our nation. The people will suffer. That's why the Bible says when the godly are in rule, the people are blessed, but when the ungodly are in rule, the people languish. Mm. It's the people that suffers.
Yeah, absolutely.
From political decisions.
Yeah.
You know, Rabbi
Jonathan
Kahn told us as he shared the harbingers, God warned Israel, the bricks fell. And they said, oh, we'll just build bigger and better. It was 10 years before Israel was destroyed, totally destroyed.
Again, what he saw was this. He went on to say that, quote, after seeing this, I believe the dream could be concerning a devastating earthquake that will happen in the future on the New Madrid Fault. He even went on and he said, quote, I do not want to come across as an alarmist concerning what I saw, and I also don't want to put fear in the public or the body of Christ. However, I cannot help but to feel that God gave me this as a warning to prepare us for the days ahead and pray concerning this matter. And I just want to echo that statement. I want to say, that's what I want to say, exactly what John Kilpatrick said. This is not to put fear in the body of Christ. This is not to cause panic, but we have to pray about this. I was thinking about this today. I said, my Lord, how do I tell the people to prepare for this? Because this is not a tornado. You've got Doppler radar. You've got the National Weather Service. You can distinguish when the conditions are ripe to produce a tornado, because you've got dew points and you've got the jet stream and you got moisture coming up out of the Gulf, and you got all these things that come together, and you can prepare for that. You can prepare, for a hurricane. But how do you prepare for an earthquake? Because it can come in a day and an hour that you don't know. Wow. Hello. So you've got to have a plan in advance. You listen, the earthquake can't be happening and then you prepare. You got to be, as soon as you know that it's happening, you got to know what to do. And then you've got to have an emergency plan already set in motion. How are you going to contact each other and find each other if you lose communication? Phones are cut out. Cell towers are knocked out. Electricity goes out. Infrastructure's down. You got to know this stuff. Now, it gets more interesting. And I want to share some more stuff with you guys. When I began, and some of you guys, I've talked about this before. When I did more research on the 1811, 1812 New Madrid earthquakes, I was stunned to discover, and I pulled a snapshot of this so you guys can go on Google and research this and see that I'm not making any of this stuff up. I'm going to read it right here on the screen. In the U.S. Midwest, there was a comet visible during the New Madrid earthquakes in December of 1811. The Shawnee leader, Tecumseh, I believe that's how you pronounce that, Tecumseh, who was born in the year of the comet of 1769 and was named accordingly, invoked the comet of 1811 as he built a confederacy of tribes which allied with the British in the War of 1812. What am I talking about? The 1811, 1812 earthquakes that were historic were preceded by the appearance of a great comet, and it was visible around the globe for 17 months and was the brightest during the earthquakes. Now, according to research, the comet with an orbit of 3,065 years was last seen during the time of Ramesses II in Egypt. And it was known as Napoleon's Comet. Here's what's interesting. Why is this interesting? Why do I need to point this out? Listen to this.
You have said that the next total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024, is the big one. Now, you're talking about the possible tribulation signal is just a year from now, but you're saying this one on the 8th is on April 8th, 2024, is the big one. Why is that?
Most everyone remembers the great American eclipse that happened August 21st of 2017 that went from Oregon all the way down through Carolina. Well, the one April 8th to 2024 goes from the south up to the northeast. And amazingly, it intersects at this particular location in southern Illinois. And they say scientifically, mathematically, that typically you won't see a total solar eclipse in one spot for over 300 years. And here, it's in 7 years. And 7 years is very significant in the fact that both of them occurred during the second year of a Shemitah cycle. If you remember, it was in the second year of the Shemitah cycle that Jacob and his brethren came up and moved to Egypt.
The exact point of intersection between 2017 total solar eclipse and the one coming on April 8th, 2024.
Yes, what's amazing about this is where they intersect. Southern Illinois in an area known as Little Egypt. To me, this is incredible. You'll notice a little city at the bottom called Cairo. As a matter of fact, let's take another look here as I bring this in closer. You see where Carbondale is at the top, but look at all the Egyptian city names. You have Goshen up at the top. You go down to the left, you see Thebes. There's Cairo at the bottom. You go up to the right, there's Karnak. These are all Egyptian named cities. This whole area is known as Little Egypt. Right here shows you the intersection where this is taking place, which is amazing. Now watch this. As I zero in, you can see on the bottom kind of right corner where Carbondale is, and there's a little city kind of called Harrisburg. Well, I want to zero in there and take a look at this. You see where Southeastern Illinois College is. This college is right in the heart of where this eclipse is going to be occurring. Now, what's amazing is this very spot is the place where the greatest totality occurs in both eclipses 7 years apart. Now, you're going to notice a little black triangle over the highway where Southeastern Illinois College is. Get a load of this. As although Illinois was a free state before the American Civil War, some residents in Little Egypt, they still own slaves, just like they had slaves in Egypt. Illinois law generally forbade bringing slaves into Illinois, but a special exemption was given to the salt works near Equality. And you will see the city of Equality in the bottom right corner of that triangle. The reason it was known as Little Egypt is because there was a famine in the north, and they all came down also to get bread. And so for several hundred years, that has been known as Little Egypt.
What you're seeing on your screen, the first, remember this, 2017, we had a solar eclipse, and it was visible from one end, from one end of America all the way across to the other. That was in 2017. And then 7 years later, which again is coming in 2024, 2 years from now, which by the way, is an election year. Interesting. And this time, the visibility and where this solar eclipse is going to span is going to form an X across America. And consequently, again, interesting. Consequently, the center of this solar eclipse, you can see it right there on the screen, is exactly the location of the New Madrid fault line in America. Now just stop for a second. Now, am I saying that the New Madrid's going to blow on 2024? No. But what I am saying is God many times, listen, for those, I'm going to say this, for those who have discernment, understand the times and seasons in which we're in. The sons of Issachar, they hear things, they see things, and they know that there is no coincidences in God. Now, let me say this real quick before I end this broadcast. So here we go. I had no idea that in 1811, in January, at approximately 2:15 in the morning, a magnitude 5 earthquake occurred in Arkansas and was the first of many that would occur. Had no idea. And it occurred on the Magic in Arkansas, 2:15 a.m. Had no idea. And then a couple days ago, I had this dream of a 7.8, almost to the time frame exactly in the wee hours of the morning, that struck the same location in Arkansas. And it just so happens that by doing some research, I discovered that there was a celestial sign in heaven during these massive earthquakes. And here we are coming up on an election cycle, 2024. You have another solar eclipse, which will be historical in America, in the West, and it's going to form an X across, it's going to go straight across the other line of visibility that took place seven years prior, and it's going to make an X, and it just so happens that the center of the X is on the New Madrid fault line. So here you have a celestial event, and the New Madrid is put in a bullseye, and again, over 200 years ago, we had the New Madrid that blew, and you had an event in the heavens that was taking place simultaneously. Again, I am not, don't you go out there and say, well, I heard Brother Ricky say that 2024, the New Madrid fault line is going to blow. Nope, I did not say that, and I will call you a liar because I did not say that. What I'm saying is, if you live, let me pull this up. If you live anywhere in this area on your screen, you need to be prepared. Guys, I'm in Georgia. And in the dream, I felt it so bad that it was flopping me all over the place. So I couldn't imagine. And I'm further down on that map. I'm in the orange. I'm not even in the red. I could not imagine. And I just gave you a hypothesis of what these experts say would be the outcome if this same event happened again in our lifetime right now. They said the results of this would be catastrophic, and that's to say it lightly. So again, how do we prepare for this? If you live anywhere in that area, you need to be aware of this. Just like people in California, on the Cascadian fault line and the San Andreas fault line and the, what is it, the Hayward, whatever it is, the fault line, they know about it. But my goodness, don't become nonchalant about it. You hear people all the time in California, they get earthquakes and it doesn't even faze them because they're so used to it. But I don't want to be caught off guard when this sleeping giant, and by the way, it's not a matter of if, but when it happens again. Not a matter of if. They said it's not a matter of if, it's when. Just like they said with the Cascadian fault. Just like they said with the San Andreas fault. It's not a matter of if, but when it happens. Look at the event, guys, that just took place in Tonga. Of a volcanic eruption so powerful that it sent ripples across the entire world and the atmosphere. So you can scoff and you can mock and you can ridicule and you can blog about me and you can message people about me and say that I'm a fearmonger or that I'm a sensationalist, I'm an alarmist, whatever you want to. Listen, I don't care. I'm beyond people's opinions. If I was really concerned about what people thought, I would have kept it to myself. There are some dreams I do keep to myself, but this is one I knew that I could not keep to myself. So again, how do you prepare for this? Get what's called a bug out bag. Have an emergency kit. Get with your family and say, look, in the event that there was, and by the way, this should be happening anyway. In the event of a disaster and you lose contact with one another, communication with another, you all should know, your family should be like, okay, we can't get a hold of each other. This is where we're going to meet. We're going to meet at such and such place, such and such location, because this is where you'll find me. Because if you don't have a plan, guys, you're going to be caught off guard. That's how you prepare. Because you can't, again, you can't predict this. Now, sure, when there's a swarm going on, that should be an indicator. Or when there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But perhaps the Lord is giving us warnings if we're listening and paying attention. Only time's going to tell, guys. But we need to be in prayer. We need to be in intercession. And I believe I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only watchman that has had dreams, that has had visions, and God has been speaking to them about the days ahead. Now, look, I don't know what's going to, and here's the thing, guys. Can I just talk to you for a minute? I just think it's interesting that that eclipse that makes the X is going to happen around an election cycle. Because remember, and even John Kilpatrick, when you see the video of this on the final cut, he will tell you that he believed that it was directly correlated with the division of Israel. So could it be possible that the next election cycle is going to be really heavily involved with the nation of Israel? Somehow, maybe to try to divide it? Because listen, every leader has tried to do this. Almost every Trump was the only leader that did not try to divide Israel. But all these other leaders always try to divide land for peace, this, that, this. Now, I don't want to get all the, I don't like to get in the political side of this, but what I'm saying is we can't be ignorant of these things. So it's going to be interesting. That's a time frame that we really need to be paying attention to. This is documented. We wrote this down. We're going to have this all on podcast. So we'll see what happens. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, that's going to be our main website. Don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Get into your hands. Get push yes to push notifications so that you can be notified of all of our latest headlines, our latest podcast. Everything's going to be there again in the event that this is blocked on YouTube. I don't know. Go to Rumble. It'll be there. Go to our podcast. It'll be there. Or on our app. I'm sorry. Go to our app. It'll be there. So again, please go and check out our free app. Get into your hands, download it. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information to you, blessing to you, resource to you, whatever the case may be, on a weekly basis, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. Listen, we don't pressure you. We don't manipulate you. All we say is you do whatever the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart as you appreciate our ministry. We know that you'll give accordingly. And the Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. So you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the main website, or you can give by check and money order. And that's right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, thank you for taking out the time. Again, don't forget to share this. Don't forget to push yes or push the bell and push notifications on YouTube and on Rumble. And again, all of the description of downloading the app and all that stuff is right there under Rumble, YouTube, the Facebook Live. Just look for those descriptions. Look for the link. Click on them. It's going to get you all the information you need. So we're going to sign off for today, guys. God bless you. We love you. We're going to be praying. We're going to continue to pray for all those folks in the New Madrid area that God will. Listen, don't be fearful. The Bible says he knows who are his. He knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life if you know him. The very hairs on your head are numbered. He has a way of protecting us, and if he has to, he'll move you from one location to another. Come on, somebody. God is faithful, and when it's your time, it's your time, no matter what it looks like. So don't be worried. Don't be despaired. Don't be filled with anxiety. Just, again, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. God bless you guys. We're going to sign off for today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.